Is it time to let the Astros cheating scandal go?
No. Hell no. Keep reminding them. Because when you see what they did, in the end, it shows that the greatness that they had, you didn't have to cheat. You could have still won. You could have still been great. And y'all chose to do it anyway.
That, obviously, was Stephen A. Smith, speaking for the 98% of Americans who do not live in the Houston metropolitan area. Because nearly 2 years after their cheating scandal first became public, the Houston Astros still rank as baseball's public enemy number one. So today, as they return to the postseason this afternoon, Aldin Gonzalez explains the anger that fans and opposing players still hold towards Houston, and whether winning this World Series would bring more vitriol or vindication. I'm Pablo Torre. It's Thursday, October 7th. This is ESPN Daily.
When you're on a business trip, you know what completely goes off the rails? Your workout routine, especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups and sit-ups in your room, run around the block, or just skip it entirely. Lame. If you just stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up and power your buys and tries the right way or de-stress with some cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
So, Aldin, I bring you on today because the Houston Astros are back, and I know they've been back all year. They won the AL West. They're really good. But they're back in the national consciousness. They host the White Sox in Game 1 of the ALDS today at 4 o'clock. So I just wanted to understand how I should understand the Astros a year after they became, you know, like the national laughingstock and or moral villain in sports. Like, what's the feeling around this team right now heading into all of this?
Well, Pablo, I could start by telling you how they would like you to understand them, which is that they are a very good team. Specifically, a very high-powered offense.
Jose tries one, deep to left field. LeCastro looks up. You've got to be kidding me. Sixth run, bottom half of the night. Maybe the most improbable comeback in the major leagues this year.
And a team that they believe should be given a lot more credit for what they've done in recent years. They just won their fourth division title in 5 years.
Ground ball, Bregman on two hops. Low throw, picked by Yuli, division winners. The golden era of Astros baseball continues.
They're trying to make it to their fourth consecutive American League Championship Series, which they could do if they beat the White Sox. They won a World Series.
Here's a ground ball right side, could do it. The Houston Astros are world champions for the first time in franchise history.
They're going to try to make it to their third World Series in a span of 5 years. That's the thing that's so fascinating about the Astros, is that obviously those are not the things that come foremost in your mind when you think about them. When you think about them, you think about trash cans and you think about banging noises. And
yes,
you think about how that swung the 2017 season.
The Houston Astros won a World Series with a sign-stealing scheme that was going on during the playoffs.
A league investigation found in 2017 the Astros used an off-field camera and a system of bangs on a trash can to get the upper hand.
This goes back, of course, to January of 2020. Well, before that, but in January of 2020, that's when the league confirmed officially that the Astros were, in fact, very blatantly cheating. So what did the investigation ultimately reveal? Who exactly got punished here?
Major League Baseball confirmed a report from The Athletic from a couple of months prior through an investigation, which was basically that soon after the 2017 season began, the Astros set up this intricate yet not so intricate system to steal the opposing catcher's signs in real time.
In retrospect, it's a little Home Alone. It's a little like Macaulay Culkin setting up a lot of devices that are very impressive for a child to construct, but also are very, very childlike.
That's exactly it. They got a video monitor and they set it up next to their dugout. And so they had players literally watching, or coaches, watching that monitor to decipher catcher signs. And whenever they figured out that the pitcher was going to throw an off-speed pitch, they would literally bang on a trash can. And so if the hitter heard a trash can noise, he would know that an off-speed pitch was coming. This was the system that they used throughout the 2017 season. And when Rob Manfred, the commissioner, commissioned that investigation on them, he came down pretty hard on the organization. He instituted a $5 million fine. That's the largest allowable under the collective bargaining agreement. He took away a first-round pick and a second-round pick from the 2020 draft and the 2021 draft. And most notably, he suspended their head of baseball operations, Jeff Luhnow, and their manager, A.J. Hinch, for that entire 2020 season. Both of those guys subsequently lost their jobs. But the most notable thing about this, and the reason why the Astros are still getting as much hatred, particularly on the road, as they have gotten, is none of the players got punished. Rob Manfred, in his pursuit of honest testimony, this is what he said in the really long statement that he gave explaining the discipline. He granted those players immunity because they wanted the honest testimony. And if you remember all the way back to spring training of 2020, just before the COVID-19 pandemic hit the United States, if you remember the vitriol spewed at the Astros from players, I mean, I remember being in Arizona that spring training and being awed because I had never heard players talk about other players the way these guys were.
Wait, no, Alden, it's a great point that the pandemic really did come and wash so much of this out of the news cycle. What were these players saying before we forgot that this was happening?
I mean, I was standing right next to Cody Bellinger when he just went off on the Astros. He talked about how they stole a ring from the Dodgers in 2017.
Everyone knows they stole the ring from us.
He talked about how Jose Altuve stole an MVP from Aaron Judge.
You know, I think what people don't realize is Altuve stole an MVP from Judge in 17.
I was right next to Mike Trout when Mike Trout, who never says anything that could be viewed negatively by anybody ever, talked about how they cheated.
It's sad for baseball. You know, it's tough. You know, they cheated. And it sucks, too, because, you know, like you said, a guy's career has been affected. A lot of people, you know, lost jobs. It was tough.
And it was not just those two guys. It was obviously Justin Turner, who went after the commissioner for subsequently referencing the championship trophy as a piece of metal, which was incredibly inane.
That's right.
Chris Bryant as well. I'm really happy that I'm jogging these memories back to you.
Yeah,
because
I forgot.
They're very vivid once you think back about it.
A lot of the apology yesterday was a lot about 2017. It's like, I'm pretty sure it was going on 2018, 2019 too. That's just so sad because it's like, just because if they didn't get caught, they'd still be doing it.
So since that all happened in 2020, how have the Astros felt, how the public has felt about them?
So Pablo, if there's anyone who benefited even slightly to some extent to the fact that this country was ravaged by the COVID-19 pandemic, it was the Astros, in that they didn't have to play in stadiums where fans were allowed inside. And I can't imagine what that 2020 season would have felt like for the Astros if fans would have been allowed in ballparks, just given the anger that still felt so fresh when that season was about to begin. So their tour through America as the villains of their sport was delayed by a year for the 2021 season. Eventually, full crowds made their way into these ballparks, and the Astros began to feel just sort of some of that pent-up anger from most of America. It was in Oakland to begin their season. Oakland A's fans, when they want to get loud. When they want to get after it, they can. The Astros felt it there. They felt it in Anaheim shortly thereafter, where Pablo, I am not making this up, a full garbage can, not one of those inflatable garbage cans that don't weigh anything, a full giant garbage can made its way from the concourse of Angel Stadium in right field, down through the stands, up over the right field fence and onto the warning track. I was there for that. I couldn't believe it.
It was raining trash cans.
How they do that one?
Just the visual here, are we talking like an Oscar the Grouch Sesame Street trash can? What did it look like?
No. It's like twice the size of that. Mm. It's just very big and cumbersome. That garbage can problem was very representative, not only of what the Astros did in 2017, but just the desire for people to let them know just how angry they are at what they did.
So if that's how fans express their anger, how would you describe the players on opposing teams? How did they display their fury towards the Astros?
So it hasn't really shown up as much in terms of being plucked. And I think that was a lot of the expectation going into 2020. I mean, I had pitchers even tell me during that spring training that they would hit one of the Astros just to send a message for how wrong that was. I think a year off might have dissipated some of that anger, but it does show up in some subtle ways. Look, I had a player who was on the Astros tell me that he could swear that when some of the pitchers come out and they warm up along one of the foul lines, whichever one corresponds to their dugout, he could swear that while they were warming up and players from the opposing team were taking early batting practice, those players were intentionally trying to pull balls just to hit them with line drives.
Guys, taking BP, batting practice, and trying to aim their hits at the Astros, who are also on the field.
Yeah, absolutely. It was astonishing to me, but he swears that that was the case. He could feel it. He knows it. And my retort to that was like, how do you just let that happen? Wouldn't a fight break out? And his response was like, what are you going to do? You're going to fight with these guys at 3 o'clock in the afternoon every day? To a certain extent, the Astros feel like they just have to take this in the chin.
So given all of that, Alden, what's the attitude here among the current Astros players towards this whole scandal?
The word defiance, right? In the wake of a morally unethical act that cost people jobs and swung outcomes, that word can be frowned upon. But I think for them, their defiance is kind of rooted in survival. It seems as if the entire country is just turned against them. When you deal with adversity, sometimes it just sort of brings you together. And I think this team, they've been galvanized by that.
So coming up, what this team thinks a World Series win this year would show the rest of the world.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code DAILY. That's code DAILY. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
I'm curious, Alden, just the accounting of this now. Obviously, you know, 2017, geez, 4 years ago now. How many guys from that 2017 team, the originals, how many are still on this roster?
There are four main guys left from that team, and that is the four members of their infield. It's first baseman Yuli Gurriel, second baseman Jose Altuve, shortstop Carlos Correa, third baseman Alex Bregman. Lance McCullers Jr., who has evolved into their ace right now, He was part of that team too, but obviously he's a pitcher. Marwin Gonzalez, who was also a key factor of that team, he was actually brought back in late August as a free agent. He's not really a central member of that team anymore. It's been mostly around those four players. And that is some of the inconsistency that their manager, Dusty Baker, is happy to point out. And he'll point out that a lot of the guys who get booed in an Astros uniform are guys who had nothing to do with this. Fans boo the uniform now. It's an association. If you're a member of the Astros, you are going to be subject to booing. And actually, you know, Dusty Baker said this to me when I spoke to him recently, that as the team was trying to get free agents to Georgia supplement their roster and try to help them get over the top, they faced some difficulty because Dusty Baker said that there was a lot of guys who just didn't want to sign with that team.
Because the team was radioactive.
Correct. They didn't want to face the animosity that was going to come with being a member of the Astros.
So Dusty Baker, Alden, being the as you put it, like the perfect manager for this radioactivity. Why? What is it about that dude that makes him so weirdly well-suited for this?
Dusty Baker told me that he thinks he was chosen by God to be in this situation, that he was meant to be the manager of the Astros during this time. And he talked to me a lot about some of what he faced in his own career. If you remember, Dusty Baker was a prominent member of the Dodgers, which is just part of the irony in all this.
Yeah, like back in the 70s, right?
Yeah, he was a beloved figure. But he talked to me about coming over there for the first time. He homers in his first at-bat with the Dodgers in 1976. The team had just acquired him for a package of four players. They thought Dusty Baker was going to be the piece for them to put them over the top, win the National League West. He homers in his first at-bat, and the man goes 97 days before homering again. He talked to me about just some of what that was like. Dusty Baker was 27, 28 years old at the time. The boos that he got at Dodger Stadium, the insults that he felt everywhere to the point where he was afraid to leave his house to shop for groceries, that feeling. Other moments where he just felt the scorn of people around him. He talked to me about even early on in his career, before he got to the Dodgers, he was with the Atlanta Braves, and there was this expectation at that time that Dusty Baker was essentially going to be the heir apparent to Hank Aaron. And he was failing to live up to those expectations, obviously, because those are unfair expectations. And at the time, he told me about a song that resonated with him. And it was by this funk rock band called Funkadelic. And the name of the song was called Maggot Brain, which was the title of their album at the time.
Yes.
Yes, I had to look it up. I did not know what song that was.
Oh, no, this is a classic, man.
The song begins with a line that still resonates with him. It says, "For I knew I had to rise above it all,
or drown in my own shit."
Dusty Baker volunteered all of this to me because he's trying to make the point that he understands what it feels like, at the very least, to feel as if the entire country is sort of against you. And just what are the things that you need to do to just sort of combat that? Dusty Baker himself is a fascinating figure. He is 72 years old. This is a man who has been let go by four different organizations, even though he's had success with all of them. But he viewed this very much as his last chance to win a World Series. And he feels it's fitting that this is his last chance because he is overseeing a team that is very clearly adopted this sort of villain role, whether it wants to or not. And Dusty Baker feels like he's been villainized throughout his whole career.
So which Astros player, then, would you say is the villain here, the biggest one, the guy who's taking the brunt of the abuse this season?
I think it's Jose Altuve. Jose Altuve has heard it from everyone. I was told about an incident when the team was in Buffalo. The Blue Jays didn't have a home. They were not allowed in Canada. So they had to play in Buffalo under a limited capacity crowd. The stadium was holding 35% capacity at the time. It was early June. Jose Altuve is chatting with a reporter facing the dugout. And there was a fan who comes in right when gates open. He walks all the way down and gets as close as he can to Jose Altuve. And he says, "I came all the way out here to call you a cheater. And Jose Altuve just stares right through him. And the moment just lingers there. I was at Dodger Stadium with a similar incident happening. He's signing for fan, and there's a fan that gets right up in his face to scream obscenities at him. And all he could do is just stare at them. The interesting thing about it, and Carlos Correa spoke to this in his very animated retort to Cody Bellinger in 2020 spring training, if I could hearken you back to that time once more, Jose Altuve didn't want teammates banging on trash cans when he hit.
Nobody wants to talk about this, but I'm going to talk about this. Jose Altuve was the one guy that didn't use the trash can. A few times that the trash can was banged was without his consent. And he would go inside the clubhouse, inside the dugout, to whoever was banging the trash can, and he would get pissed. He would get mad. He would say, I don't want this. I can't hit like this. Don't you do that to me.
He didn't benefit from it. He didn't want it. He won the MVP that year. There have been people who have dug up the audio from every single home at bat by the Astros in 2017. And that data shows that Jose Altuve didn't really benefit from the banging scheme. But like we've talked about with players who come over new, young players on the Astros, there's an association. Jose Altuve has very much been the face of this scandal.
Alden, it's remarkable here. I mean, this is where I give credit to the Astros just straight up, right? Like, they won 95 games this year. They won that division. They clinched the AL West, which was very competitive. They won more games than anybody in the American League, short of the Rays. And so what did it mean for this team, which had been accused of really benefiting on the field from a massive, elaborate, ridiculous cheating scandal, for them to clinch this thing just a few weeks ago?
I asked Carlos Correa that question. I asked him, what do you think you've proven this year? And he told me simply, we've proven that we're a great ball club, that we're very talented, and that this was their chance, again, to just sort of prove that they're a great team. The counter to that is obvious, and that is, I don't think many people doubted that this was a good team. I think anybody who is at least somewhat discerning could understand that Carlos Correa and Alex Bregman and Jose Altuve and George Springer, who was on that team at the time, they're good at baseball. I don't think that's the root of the anger. They're upset that they cheated and they did a morally unethical thing. The Astros want to distance themselves from it. They want some of their legacy to at least be that, okay, fine, they had this happen in 2017, but they're actually good baseball players. When you take a step back and you're just evaluating the baseball portion of it, and you're thinking about which teams have a chance to win a World Series, if you bring up the Dodgers and their lineup with Mookie Betts and Corey Seager and Trey Turner, I would like to submit to you the Houston Astros of Correa, of Bregman, Altuve, Michael Brantley, one of the best pure hitters in the game, Yordan Alvarez, one of the best young power hitters, Kyle Tucker, who has emerged as a stud, frankly. This is probably the most fearsome lineup among the postseason competitors. This is a team that has a very good chance, as good as anybody, to win the World Series. And I pose that question to a lot of people on the Astros. What would they prove? Can they be vindicated if they win the World Series? And they probably can't be. And in the minds of many people, when they think Houston Astros, they're going to think the cheaters of 2017. And this is something that their bench coach, Joe Espada, told me is, as long as the people here understand, as long as the people here understand what we did this season, that's ultimately all that matters.
Alden Gonzalez, as always, thank you for rising above it all and, you know, not drowning in your own.
You got it, Pablo.
I'm Pablo Torre, and this has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.